We're continuing on in the series, Wise Up, and we're looking at Wise Up to Work. And as we look at this theme, there are two questions I would like to ask. And the first question is this, and I will get into the book of Proverbs. I will look at Proverbs 31, if you want to turn there. I will eventually get there. Okay, that's the direction I'm going. But there's some other things I want us to see this morning. But the first question is, how does God want us to see work? How does God want us to see work? Firstly, God wants us to see that work is His idea. Work is His idea. First, Genesis 1:31, then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis chapter 2, it says in verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God created and made. And we see from these verses that God is the primary worker. God is busy with creation. And these verses tell us that God worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh. And these verses reveal to us that God was the first to do work on the earth. What I want you to see out of this is that you and I this morning are in relationship with a working God. John 5 John 5:17. These are the words of Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." And our God is always active this morning. We see that has been ready said from Psalm 121 and verse 4. He neither slumbers, neither does He sleep. Right at this moment, as we're sitting in church, He is working. He is upholding all things by the word of His power. What does Paul say? Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Last Sunday night we sung an amazing song, and it's sovereign over us. And listen to the words of the song. And this song reveals that God is working. It says there is strength within the sorrow, there is beauty in our tears, and You meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. You are working in our waiting. You're sanctifying us when beyond our understanding You're teaching us to trust. Your wisdom unimagined, who could understand Your ways, reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly, compassion and kind. You surround and You uphold me, and Your promises are my delight. Even what the enemy means for evil, He turns it for our good. He turns it for our good, and what? And for His glory. Even in the valley, You are faithful. Look, You are working for our good. You're working for our good and for Your glory. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. He's not forgotten you this morning. His plans is still to prosper you. He is still working in your behalf. You're with us in the fire, in the flood. And this morning you might be going through the fire, but guess what? You're in relationship with a working God. He's working right now, and there's nothing impossible with Him. You're faithful forever. Perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged. God is working right now. He's working in your life. He's working in the circumstance. He's working in the situation. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. And in the image of, and the image of God, he created him male. Notice that. Male and female. He created them. Kent Hughes writes this, we are compelled to understand from this that the image of God in man means man is to be a worker. The way we work will reveal how much we have allowed the image of God to develop us. There is immense dignity in work and being workers. So he wants you to see this morning, he wants you to see that he is a God at work. And because we are created in his image, then we are to be workers. We are to be workers. We see that the first thing he did with Adam, what did he say? We see the first job that he gives him in Genesis 2 verse 15. We see the Lord took him and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. He didn't put him in the Garden of Eden and then say, you worship me. He put him in the Garden of Eden to work. We see here that this was his work. This was his job, to cultivate the garden, to care for the garden. And God introduced the concept of work even before the fall. See, we all believe that marriage is God's idea, so we enjoy marriage. We all believe that the church is God's idea, so we enjoy the church. The good news this morning is that work is God's idea. He's established it. He's planned it. It's his will for our lives. Therefore, we should enjoy work. Second thing is, God wants us to see, is that work is honorable. All professions, all kinds of work, assuming they are legal and biblically ethical, are honorable before the Lord. R. Kent Hughes writes this in his chapter, The Discipline of Work. There is no circular stroke sacred distinction. For all honest work done for the Lord is sacred. Historians agree that Martin Luther's understanding of this revolutionized his life and indeed the world of his day. Martin Luther wrote this, your work is a very sacred matter. God delights in it, and through it, he wants to bestow his blessings on you. This praise of work should be inscribed on all your tools, on the forehead and on the faces that sweat from toiling. And R. Kent goes on to say this, there is no first class, second class Christians because of their varying jobs. All work is sacramental in nature. All work is sacramental in nature. What is your job this morning? What do you work at this morning? Maybe you work 40 hours or 30 hours or 1 hour. Maybe your work's in the home. Maybe it's in school. Whatever your work is, all work is sacramental in nature. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do this morning, whatever your role is, whatever your function is this morning, he says, do it all for the glory of God. That's what it's about this morning. It's about his glory. He says in Colossians 3, verse 7, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all. Do all this morning. What's your job? What's your role? Do all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. You know, when I was doing this message, I really felt that God wanted them. When you get up there, you can encourage them that I'm a worker. But there was something else he wanted to encourage you by, and it's this morning. He wants to encourage you that your work matters to God. Your work matters to God. No matter how long it is, no matter how you may feel it, mundane it is, it matters to God. You can bring glory to him through what you do this morning. You can do it. The third thing he wants you to see is that work is a gift. Work is a gift. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 19, and it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God. Our God desires for us to enjoy work. He didn't give us a gift because he thought it would be good to make us miserable. He gives us the gift of work because he loves us. He knows what's best for us. He knew he could use the gift of work to carry out his purposes in and through us. And we all know this morning the gift of work and what it brings to our lives, the benefits and the blessings that it brings to our lives this morning. You can go out into the car park. You just have to look at the clothes that you have on this morning. It's coming from the blessing and the gift of work this morning. The cars in the car park is coming from the gift this morning. It's coming from the gift that he's given you. There's other things, skills and abilities that you're able to do. You're traveling it through the gift of work this morning. How do you view work today? Is it a drudgery or is it a delight? Is it a gift or is it a life sentence? How do you view it? See, I believe our God wants us to view work as his big idea. He wants us to view that our work matters to him. And he wants us to view it as a gift that brings many, many benefits into all of our lives. Fourthly this morning, and this is coming into the book of Proverbs. Fourthly, our God wants us to see that our work provides an opportunity for witness. Our work is a vehicle through which God can and does work. He uses our work as an avenue for sharing him. Think of all the people you come in contact with over the course of a year. The multiplying effect of having us in a work environment surrounded by other people gives God much more exposure than if we were to stay at home and just stay in our pajamas. James Ackman writes this: you manifest a powerful message, notice this, both verbally and non-verbally, of a supernatural approach to work. The way the world today needs this powerful witness to the reality of Christ and the difference that he makes in his followers. And he quotes Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light shine before men that they may see your works and what? And glorify your Father in heaven. And that leads me to my second question this morning. The second question is, what should a Christian look like in the workplace? What qualities should be displayed in our lives to be an influence, to be an effective witness? The answer to this question can be seen in the life of the woman described in Proverbs chapter 31. And if you want to turn over there, I want to show you some things from that. Proverbs 31 verses 10 to 31. And as you read down through the passage, it's evident that she's a wise worker. We see that she has many different jobs. She's a wife. She's a mother. We see that she's a businesswoman. And we see that she is a community worker because verse 20 tells us that she ministers to the poor and to the needy in the community. Her workplaces are her home, her business, and the community. And there are a lot of demands on her life. You can imagine that, wearing all those caps, being a mother, being a wife, running a business, working in the community. Think of the demands that are on your life. And we read, as we read through the passage, we see that this wise worker, we see she displays different qualities. Different qualities that enable her to be an effective witness in the workplace. Qualities that enable her to influence where she's at, influence her home, influence her business, influence the community. And I believe as we seek to apply these qualities to our lives, I believe that then we will affect our workplaces. We will influence our families. We will influence where God has placed us. So the first quality I want you to see is in verse 30. And this is what it says: charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And the first quality I want you to see being displayed out of this worker is that she is a woman who fears the Lord. You know, it's interesting to note the book of Proverbs begins with the command to fear the Lord in chapter 1, verse 7. And it ends with the picture of a woman who fulfills the command. She's walking in the fear of the Lord. And we see here in Proverbs, we see that the secret of her life is walking in the fear of the Lord, walking in that reverence, walking in that respect. The fear of the Lord enabled her to stay close to the heart of God. The fear of the Lord enabled her to trust her God. The fear of the Lord enabled her to live out Proverbs 16 and verse 3, where it says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. She's a wise worker. She's a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. And we see here that he's included in every area of her life. He's included in every decision that she has to make regarding her family, regarding her business. She's walking in the fear of the Lord. She's walking in relationship. And we see that walking in the fear of the Lord brings many blessings into her life and brings many blessings into our lives today. And here are some of them. Here, there is friendship, Psalm 25, verse 14. Goodness, Psalm 31, verse 19. Protection, Proverbs 14, 26. Love, Psalm 103, verse 11. Desires being fulfilled, Psalm 145, verse 19. And so we see here, because this woman is walking in the fear of the Lord, we see that this woman was experiencing in her life, she's experiencing God's love. She's experiencing his friendship. She's experiencing his goodness. She's experiencing his protection. She's experiencing all of her desires being fulfilled. The way of wisdom flows out of the fear of the Lord. See, Proverbs 14, 27 says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. See, she spends time in her walk with God. That's her priority, because all the other qualities flow out of that. All of the other qualities that I'll mention, they're flowing out of relationship with God. So we see here that a wise worker is walking in the fear of the Lord. And that brings the challenge to my heart as I work, and brings the challenge to all our hearts this morning. Are we walking in the fear of the Lord? Is there that reverence? Is there that respect in our lives for God? Are we walking in such a way that we're so close to him that we've committed all of our business, all of our work, everything is given over to him? That we don't make decisions without putting it through him and talking it through with him. A wise worker walks in the fear of the Lord. A second quality that I want you to see is in verse 25. We see here that she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs at the days ahead. And what we see here is a wise worker. We see that she's walking in the fear of the Lord. She's walking in relationship with her God. And out of that relationship, she becomes a woman of strength. She becomes a woman of confidence. And she may face the challenges within the home. She may face the challenges within the business. She may face the challenges of the community or whatever it is. Yet that woman, out of relationship with God, walks into those situations with confidence and with strength. With strength. She was a person who lived out Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Who was strengthened by might by his spirit in the inner man. I want you to be encouraged by this morning as we walk in relationship with him, walk in the fear of the Lord. Then we go into our workplaces, wherever it is, and we walk in strength. Not in weakness, not in fear. We walk in with strength and with confidence that when a problem arises, when a circumstance arises, whether it's in our business, whether it's in work and business, wherever it is, whether it's in the life of the church, then we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we see here walking in the fear of the Lord. She is a woman of strength. Then we see another quality is in verse 11. Verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. The third quality that I want you to see is this. I want you to see that this woman is trustworthy. She's a trustworthy worker. See, Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many people claim to be loyal, but it is hard to find a trustworthy person. It's hard to find a trustworthy person. Yet we see here that this woman was a trustworthy person. We see that her husband trusted her to watch over the affairs of the household in verse 27. We see in verse 16, he trusts her to make wise decisions. He trusted her to consider a field and buy it, and out of the earnings plant a vineyard. He could trust her not to bring the family into debt, but instead to increase its wealth. She displayed wisdom in handling all of the household and business finances. In the workplace, she was a person who could be trusted. I don't know where you work or what you work at, but for me, I work with the electricity board. I work with live electricity every day. And for me, trust is a big thing. It's a big thing. Because we're working with something that could kill us. And at the minute, I'm a team leader. I'm looking after a squad of four. I had a squad of eight there at the moment, the last few weeks. Do you know what it's about for me? It's about trust. That I can ask those men to go to a house and work with live electricity and trust them that they'll work safely, trust them that they'll do a good job. And they have to trust me. They have to trust me as a team leader that I'm not leading them into something that's going to harm them. The trust is a big thing this morning. And I want to put that question to you, that when you go into your workplace, can your boss trust you? Can your boss rely on you to do a good job this morning? Because this woman this morning, she was trusted. He could trust her this morning. See, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this, moreover, it is required of stewards, you and me, that we be one found trustworthy. Are you trustworthy this morning? You want to be an effective witness, be trustworthy. Be a person that's reliable, a person that your boss can trust. Another quality is in verses 13 through to verse 24 and also in verse 27. And I want you to bear with me with this because there's quite a lot of verses in this. But a Proverbs would, in many ways, certainly around work, would focus around a lot of these verses. And the quality is diligence, hardworking. See, we see in the book of Proverbs there's a battle going on. And the battle is between diligence, hardworking, and laziness. And this is some of the verses. Proverbs 10, verse 4 and 5. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in the summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son. Proverbs 12:24, diligent hands will rule, will be promoted, but laziness ends in slave labor. Verse 27, the lazy man does not roast his game. So he catches whatever it is, but he's not lazy, can't even be bothered to roast it, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. Proverbs 13, verse 4, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Proverbs 21:25, the sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. Proverbs 27, verse 23, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. Be diligent to know the state of your business. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as his hands to poverty. And when we look at the life of this woman, she has a choice to make. She has a choice either to live diligently, to work hard, or a choice to be lazy. And we see here that this woman chooses. She chooses to work hard. She chooses not to be lazy. See, we see that this woman worked hard. We see in verse 17, it says she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. We see in verse 15, she rises up early while it is still dark. We see in verse 18, she works late. We see in verse 27, she doesn't know idleness. We see from verse 13, verse 19, verse 22, verse 24, she is working willingly with her hands. First, we see that she provides for her family, verse 15. We see that she makes clothes to sell in verse 24. We see she has time to buy a field and to plant a vineyard in verse 16. Her mindset is to work hard. Her mindset isn't to be lazy. Her diligence would bring fulfillment into her life. Remember Proverbs 13, verse 4. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Then she would receive wealth because of her hard work. Proverbs 10, verse 4. Lazy hands make a poor man, but diligent hands bring wealth. What an example for us to follow today. What an effective witness she is in her home, in her business, in the community. I believe for us as the people of God, this is a quality that all of us should be living out in our lives on a daily basis. It says in Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. So when you go into work, is the boss glad to see you because they know they're going to get a full day's work out of you? Or are they going to see you as someone, oh, here she comes, or here he comes, oh, dear me, productivity's going to be down? What witness is that this morning? What witness is it? How are you going to influence people today? We influence them by working hard. And it's a mindset. It's a mindset. As laziness is a mindset. Then the fifth quality is in verse 15. It says, she gets up while she is it is still dark. She provides food for her family. And notice this. And portions for her servant. See, I want you to see that she's not only a wise worker, but I want you to see she's a boss. And I want you to see here that as a boss, she not only cares about her family, she not only cares about her business and the money that it will make, she cares about her workers. She cares about her servants. She made sure that the servants would be looked after. See, Proverbs 29, verse 7 says this, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but wicked have no such concern. And the company that I work in, it has a duty of care towards me. And as a team leader, I have a duty of care towards the guys that I work with. And we see here, I'm a firm believer, and this you might not agree with me, but I'm a firm believer that if employers look after their staff and care for their staff, I believe productivity will not be an issue. I believe that. Been working since I was a wee boy, 16 or whatever it was, or 15. But I really believe that. And if you're a boss this morning, can I encourage you to be a Christian? And look after your people. Look after them. Because this is what it says in Colossians 4 verse 1. And I'm reading in the Message paraphrase. And masters, bosses, treat your servants considerately. Be fair with them. Don't forget for a moment that you too. So if you're a boss, you too serve a master, God in heaven. Proverbs 3 verse 27 says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. So if you're a boss this morning, let me encourage you. If you, it's in your power to act, then look after the people that's with, that you have. Because what I've noticed, I'm a 53, 54 this year, been in NIE for 30 odd years, okay? What I notice is when I went into NIE, it was always a secure job. And people went in to spend their lives in it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm spending my life in it. But I want to tell you something, and I've nothing against young people. Young people have nothing against you. But there's a different mindset today. And they will come in. And a couple of years, you look around and they're away because maybe they're getting a better offer somewhere else. And I have absolutely no problem with that. But I'll tell you something. I know there's guys that still would be within the workplace that I'm in if they were better looked after and better cared for. And so I want to encourage you this morning. If you're in that position, really look after your people because you're a Christian. Well, you're meant to be a Christian anyway. Okay, we see the sixth quality is in verse 12. And notice this, okay, this is a good one for all the husbands, but I'm trying to bring this into a work scenario. Okay, verse 12 says this, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Wow, can you imagine that? All these women in here, can you imagine that? Your husband bringing him good every day of your life. You get up in the morning and you say, I'm going to be good to him today. You really do. See when I read that, you know, that's really powerful. It really is powerful. And I'm trying to click this into a work situation, okay? But, you know, what I'm trying to bring out of this is what she's showing in this, I believe, okay, you mightn't agree with me, but I believe, you know, she's showing there consistency. Consistency. See, you know, we'll use Alison and Alistair for an example. So Alison gets up one day and she'll say, I'm going to do him good today. I'm going to do it, no problem. And then the next day he's done something on her the night before. I'm not going to do him any good. There's no way. You know, so there's inconsistency there. There's inconsistency there. But I know she does him good all her days because I know she's madly in love with him. So she says, okay. Well, I think so. Okay. All right. But there's consistency. And that's what I want to bring out of that. I want to bring out of it that this morning that you and I are consistent. See, she maintains a level of consistency. Remember, she's running a business. She's looking after the kids. She's in the community. But yet, she's time to be consistent. She's time to be consistent. And when we bring that into a work situation, then I believe we have to be consistent. You know, we can't go into work tomorrow and say, right, I'm up for it. I'm going to do something today. And then on Tuesday say, oh, I had a bad night last night. I'm not going to work today. You know, I've been a team leader. And, you know, you're working over people. And to be honest, people can come into work and they don't really want to do anything. And so for me, I know I need to get certain amount of figures at the end of the week, so I have to then get them out to work. So I'm the first one to pull. I'm the oldest in the squad, and the first one to pull the ladder out of the back of the van. Hey guys, we're going to do a bit of work today. See, I have to be consistent. You know, I work with electricity. We go to different properties and. We work with the customers, and every property is different. We also work outside all the time, so all the weather, rain, snow, and whatever. So against all that, you know, we still have to bring a level of consistency. So if I go to a house, say I go to Bill's house, and I do a smashing Rolls Royce job, and his neighbour is Alistair, and I go into Alistair's and do a rubbish job, What happens? Neighbors talk. Oh, you got a better job than you. Hey, they've done a great job in your house. What did they do in my house? You know, so for me, I can't go into Bill's house and do a great job, go into Alistair's house and do a bad job. I have to go into Bill's house, do a good job, and I have to do a good job in Alistair's house because there's consistency. And there has to be that consistency in our workplaces. See, Christine Cain says this, consistent action creates consistent results. Consistent results. You know, John Maxwell says this, small disciplines repeated with consistency every day lead to great achievements gained slowly over time. Consistency. Final thing is this, okay, verse 26, and I know somebody's going to preach on this, but it'll maybe be a lead-in for them, okay? They're going to preach on this thought. Okay, verse 26, okay, remember, she's a mom, okay, dealing with those squealing kids. Came home from work the other week, and guess what? The Robinsons was in my house. And I went in, and it was just, see, I thought somebody threw a bomb in it. You know, three kids, and we rode it around. Uncle Tom's, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. And I'm saying, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It does. It does. It doesn't matter. You know, and it's okay. So she has that. She's a mother with all these kids. She'll go, oh, hold on now. I have to answer the phone. I've got a business. Something's happening in business. Yeah, I need to make a bit of money out of business. Oh, hold on a minute. I have to run down the street. There's somebody down the street there. They need food. I have to go to the help the poor. All this going on. I imagine all that going on. And then we have this quality coming out. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And her tongue is the law of kindness. How do you communicate when you're under pressure? How do you communicate in your workplace this morning? Is it that you're bringing a positive influence by your communication? That if something happens in the workplace and there's a need for wisdom, that you can step in and speak a word of wisdom? See, remember, you're in relationship with an almighty God. You can operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Wisdom, gifts of the Spirit. Kindness. You know, I love the way we wrote it when the kids are doing their head in, and well, it's seen it happening in our own house, okay? And I mean, they're kids, they're up to everything, you know? So, you know, if there's one of them does something wrong, you know, I love the way she'll get them, and we'll use Ran. Now, Ran's really, well, they're all really good. Okay, we'll use Ran, okay? He's had a bad day. He's had a bad day at school. So he comes in and throws a tantrum. And then Rhoda, I love the way Rhoda will just go over to him, and then she'll begin to speak to them. But you know what she's doing? She's speaking words of wisdom, words of kindness, words that does the job. She's communicating. And the kids know after that conversation, they know they've done wrong, they get on with it. We don't get on with doing the wrong thing, but they get on with it. Okay? But she's speaking words. Words of life. Words of life. And that brings a challenge to you and to me this morning. How are we communicating in our workplaces? How are you communicating at home? How are you communicating in the community? What's coming out? Is it wisdom? Is it kindness? In closing, Jim George writes this, the greater the level of your service to others, the greater the level of your influence on others. And this woman served within her house, and she served outside her house in the business and in the community. And we see that her level of influence, her level of witness was so great. We see in verse 28 that the children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Verse 29, many daughters have done well, but look at what it says, but you excel all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And the gates, in many ways, would be the center of the community, because that's where her husband was in verse 23. So we see here that she is a woman of influence. She is a great witness in the home, in the business, in the community, even in the center of the town. She has this great witness, a great influence. And I believe that's what God wants from you. That's what God wants from me this morning. He wants us, through the gift that he is giving us, he's want us to walk down that avenue and walk in our workplaces and walk in with strength and confidence, because we're living with him in relationship every day. And we will walk in, and what they will see is a trustworthy worker. They will see a diligent worker, a consistent worker. They will see one who will bring positive life through the conversations that we bring on a daily basis. This woman was effective. This woman was a great witness. God has given us work, that brilliant gift, to be a witness for him. And I believe that we can be a great witness if we take these qualities, and there are many other qualities that she displays, and apply them to our hearts and apply them to our lives this morning. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.